You are listening to an audio podcast by the Durban Christian Centre Jesus Dome, a house of prayer for all nations.
Father, as we come to your word, we thank you, Lord, that you are inseparable from your word, that you are united with your word. And Lord, that every intent and every purpose that you would have for us is shown and revealed in your word. I thank you, Father, that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will always outlast every temporal thing, that your word is eternal. And as we sit under your word tonight, this is your word. This is not the opinion of a man, but Lord, this is your word. And just like Paul commended the church at Thessalonica, we don't receive it as the word of man tonight, but we receive it as your word. And Lord, you are about to speak to us. You are about to set us free. You are about to challenge us. We're so excited. We're sitting on the edge of our chair and we just cannot wait for what it is that you are about to say to us. And I ask God that the soil of every heart would be ready to receive the incorruptible seed of your word, that it will truly be a word that abides within us, that it truly will be a word that bears much fruit, not just a little bit of fruit, but much fruit in our lives. And God, that whatever the purpose of this word would be, that you have sent, Lord, that it shall return to you full of fruit in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen and amen. You may be seated. God bless you. And I don't want the ministry team to move away too far, because tonight I just want to share a short word. And then together as a team, all the pastors and myself, we would like to pray with you regarding the direction that God is about to speak to us. I'd like to minister a very short word that I've entitled Hide and Seek. And if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 10, we will read from verse 17, a significant event that took place in the life of Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 17. And the Bible says, later Samuel called all the people of Israel to meet before the Lord at Mizpah. And he said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, has declared. I brought you from Egypt and rescued you from the Egyptians and from all the nations that were oppressing you. But though I have rescued you from your misery and distress, you have rejected your God today and have said, no, we want a king instead. Now therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by tribes and clans. Verse 20. So Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel before the Lord, and the tribe of Benjamin was chosen by lot. Then he brought each family of the tribe of Benjamin before the Lord, and the family of the Matrites was chosen. And finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen from among them. But when they looked for him, he had disappeared. So they asked the Lord, where is he? And the Lord replied, he is hiding among the baggage. So they found him and brought him out, and he stood head and shoulders above anyone else. Then Samuel said to all the people, this is the man the Lord has chosen as your king. No one in all Israel is like him. And all the people shouted, long live the king. Beloved, you and I, the moment we became born again, received a life-changing ministry that as we begin to fulfill that ministry, God would begin to use you and I in changing the lives of people around us. How many of you believe this evening that in having Jesus on the inside of us, that we are living more than just for ourselves, but that we are living to make a change in the lives of other people. Can I see your hand if you believe that that's what God has called you to? In fact, the greatest fulfillment is to live a life that you let Jesus minister through you. The greatest fulfillment that you could ever experience in your life is not when you live a life where you're rubbing your belly and you're saying, oh, it's all about me, myself, and I. No, the greatest fulfillment is when you humble yourself under the hand of God and you say, God, I'm ready to be used of you. I don't know who I'm going to meet today, but I'm ready for a word. I'm ready to give a word. I don't know who I'm going to meet today, but if there's anyone in need, I'm going to go in and believe God for their healing. And you and I live for a bigger cause the moment we become born again. But it's interesting that God has prepared great things for you. That God hasn't designed small, little, insignificant things for you, but that in you being born, and I'm not just talking about being born again, but in being born, just being born, the moment you cried your first cry, you already were declaring, God has great things for me. And what I'd like to do tonight is to just unpack a few scriptures about the greatness of the call of God upon your life. You say, but Wayne, you don't even know me. But I can tell you that God has great things for you tonight. Would you say after me, God has great things in store for my life? Would you tell the person next to you, God has great things in store for my life? The Bible says that God formed and covered you in your mother's womb. Do you know that you were actually pieced together by God? That you are not a mistake, no matter what the circumstances of your conception are. You are not a mistake, and God formed and covered you in your mother's womb. If you have a look at Psalm 139, verse 13, and if you do have a pen and paper, if you would maybe just jot these scriptures down, because these are life-changing scriptures. In fact, the whole of the Bible is life-changing. But in Psalm 139, verse 13, the Bible says, "For you formed me in my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb." God wired you together. God placed those desires that you have on the inside of you. God put it there. That's not just by chance. God gave you that desire to go out and do mission work. God gave you that desire to go and be involved with cars. You say, but I mean, even down to being involved and having a desire after cars, absolutely. In fact, you know, when we look at many of our staff, we can see how we are all differently wired. I think of Trevor, who goes and sees legal drags. If there are any cops here tonight, legal drags. He will go like he did yesterday. He's just passionate about cars. Trevor's wired to look at cars and see how these things work. But then I think of somebody else like Emmanuel, who's on staff, and he's just so passionate about photography that whenever you would talk to Emmanuel, he wants to talk about the latest lens and the latest camera that's come out. Why? Who put that desire there? Do you think that that was by chance? Do you think those desires that you have on the inside of you are just by chance? No. The Bible says that God formed you in your inward parts. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "Before I formed you," this is God speaking, "in the womb." So who put you together? Who molded you together? It was God. God molded you together, gave you the desires that you have, gave you the aspirations that you have. An aspiration to be an accountant, an aspiration to be a nurse, or whatever it might be. And the Bible says, when God was talking to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Wow. Before you were even conceived, the Bible says that God knew you. Now, only God could be that kind of God that could say, before you were even in existence, I knew you. I mean, that's a big God right there. And it goes on to say, before you were born, I sanctified you, I separated you, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. My friends, whatever it is that is on the inside of you by way of desire, let me tell you that there were two befores that took place in your life. Before you were even formed in the womb and God formed you in the womb, my Bible tells me that God knew you. You did not have to be born to be known by God. That God knew you before you were even conceived. That's a powerful God. You say, how's that possible? All I can tell you, that God is so greater than us, that God is so bigger than us, that He's the kind of God that can see you before you are even born. You are not a mistake. You didn't just stumble across a purpose and a destiny. No, that you were seen by God. That word to know is the Latin word video, where we get the word video from, and it means that God saw you before you were even conceived. It kind of tells me that the reason you were conceived was because God saw you. God had a purpose for your life. There was a great call that was placed upon you. And while in the womb, God separated you. The Bible says that to be sanctified is to be separated. God has separated you for something wonderful and for something great. The second thing is that God took you out of the womb. When you were in that womb, God molded you, God fashioned you. It was all God. But let me tell you this evening that you could not come out of that womb unless God brought you out. Isn't that a wonderful God we serve? If you have a look at Psalms chapter 22 and verse 9, Psalm 22 verse 9, it says, but you, God, are He who took me out of the womb. God brought you out of the womb. I know that there might have been some circumstances, there might have been some complications, but God did not allow those complications to trump the call of God upon your life. The reason you were born is so that you could live for something great. The reason you and I were born was not just to live for ourselves, but for us to reach out and make a difference in the city of Durban. Everything, number three, that you do must be God-directed. In Psalm 37, verse 23, the Lord directs the steps of the godly, and listen to what the Bible says, He delights in every detail of their lives. God is into the details of your lives. He doesn't just look at you generally, and there you are, and He'll just give some general synopsis. He's into the details of your lives. He's into the details of everything that is in you by way of desire. Another translation says, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. I see that God is your biggest cheerleader. I see that God is your biggest supporter. He's like saying to you and I, whatever you face, one thing you can be assured of, that as you keep on going, as you keep on pushing ahead, that whatever the purpose is for God's, for you, that is God's purpose for you, God's will be fulfilled in your life. It's not going to fall flat. You're not going to go belly up. You're not going to lose out, and you're not going to get sidetracked. That at the end of the day, God's purpose for your life will trump anything else. Number four, the strength to do what God wants comes from God Himself. Because my friend, when God calls you, He doesn't call you to something that you are able to do in your own strength and ability. It's always bigger than you. The dreams of God are bigger than you. The purposes of God, the will of God is far bigger than you. I don't know if you've ever stood back and thought about what God has put in your heart, but let me just tell you that if you think you can do it in 5 minutes, I doubt that's God. I remember I was still in the children's church, working in the children's church. And there was a prophet that came into the church. His name was Tim Sherman. And he began to prophesy. He said, I see you writing books. And I thought that was ridiculous. Why would I want to write books? He said, I see you teaching adults. And I thought, well, that's ridiculous. Why would I want to do that? I love working with the children. But little did I realize that God saw further on down the line than what I saw. And I remember laughing at that prophecy. I didn't write it off, but I thought, no, I don't know about this word. How would I ever want to have how would I ever get the boldness to teach adults? How would I even have the ability to write books? But my friend, God's vision for your life is far greater than what you think. God thinks big thoughts about you. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do what God has called you to do is with God's courage. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, for it is God who is working in you. God is working in you. Would you say after me, God is working on the inside of me? Now notice God is working. He's not dormant there, but God is releasing a power on the inside of you, and God is doing some kind of great work in you. What is he doing? Number one, there's two things. Number one, to enable you, to give you the ability to both to desire and to work out his good purpose. Let me break that down. God is working on the inside of you, number one, that you would desire to do what God wants you to do. I don't know if you've ever spoken to Christians and they make the will of God so complicated. It's like some haze. And when you talk to them, it's so mysterious that they never move forward in the things of God. Because it's like, oh, God's called me to something great. Well, what's he called you to? Oh, it's something great. One day God will show me. But I tell you, whatever is the burden in your heart is what God has given you to do. If you burden for children, we have a wonderful children's church. If you burden for young people, we have a fantastic young adults and teens ministry. If you are passionate about television work, we've got such a great team here in this church. But whatever the desire is, that whatever God has called you to do, God places that desire on the inside of you. So he gives you the desire. And number two, he gives you the power to do what you desire. And so when I just follow after God and I just follow after him, He basically directs the desires of my heart. If I delight myself in the Lord, the Bible says he will grant all the desires of my heart. But maybe that's because he places those desires there. Who put those desires there? Who put those desires to go and reach out to orphans? This morning I was talking to a couple and they are just so passionate about orphans. And the husband was saying, well, I never had this passion initially, but when I went there and I held those little children, he said there was something that was stirring on the inside of me. He says, oh, I'm just so passionate about it. I said, yeah, because God placed that desire on the inside of you. Every one of us is called to make a difference. Jesus is big enough in you. Jesus is big enough to flow through you to make a difference in your neighborhood, to make a difference in your business, to make a difference in whatever it is that you have joined yourself to. Jesus is big enough in you. And so the Bible tells us that King Saul was about to be anointed as king. And the prophet had told him prior to this that God's called you to be a king. And the story goes that Samuel the prophet brings all the tribes of Israel. And he says, well, we're going to establish who is going to be the king of Israel. And all the tribes came and the lot fell on the tribe of Benjamin. And everybody in Benjamin knew one of us is going to be a king. one of us is going to be a king. The king already knew who it would be. He knew this is me. I have a heads up on this. And then all the clans were brought before the people of Israel. And it was the Matrite clan, the Matrite clan. Oh, yeah. Not only is it the tribe of Benjamin, but now it's the Matrite clan. And then after all the clan, they brought the family members, and the lot fell on King Saul. And do you know what King Saul did? Was what many of us do when it comes to the call of God upon our lives. Where's the king? Where's the king? Now hold on a moment. We need to ordain the king, the new king of Israel. Where is the king? And everyone's looking around. They're looking at one another. I wonder if the father and the mother were feeling a little bit under pressure. We don't know where our son is. You mean our son is going to be the king? Where is the king? Where is King Saul? No one can find where he is. And so they went before the Lord because it's the Lord's call. It's his purpose. It wasn't like, we couldn't find Saul, so let's get somebody else. No, when God calls you to do what he's called you to do, nobody else can do what you are to do. God's not going to say, if you've got this issue, that issue, or another issue, well, then we're going to put you to the side and, you can just vegetate there for the rest of your life until Jesus comes. No, when God has put his hand on you, my friend, that hand is on you for good. You cannot outrun God. You cannot outpace God. You cannot hide from God. That is what you are called to do. Where is King Saul? Where is this king? The Bible says that God spoke to them. And God showed them that he was hiding. He was hiding. I don't want to be the king, Lord. And how many of us, when God calls us to do what we are to do, we say, God, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I can be a youth leader. I don't know if I can be a life group leader. I'm not too sure about this. But let me tell you, you have no option when the hand of God is upon you. You will be frustrated. You will be running like Jonah. And it is never a good thing to run away from what God has called you. Let me tell you, the end of that road, my friend, is a dry and barren experience. You don't want to be at the end of that road. I see some luggage here. And the Lord says, the king is hiding by the luggage. What? Wow, isn't that amazing that God actually knows where he is? You see, wherever you are, God knows where you are. And God's call remains the same. God knows what you are debating in your heart, but God's call remains the same. God knows all those things that you're saying, God, please, this is my story, this is my song. And no matter how much you make a story about it, no matter how long your song is, God's hand remains on you. You can't run away from it. Here's the luggage. I wonder what's behind the luggage. There's the king. Come here, King Saul. You are hiding behind the luggage. Let me tell you, my friend, you can never out-hide God. You can never hide away from God. Or you can never outrun God. It is always a good thing for you just to say, God, I might not understand it, but I'm going to do what you've called me to do. But you know, King Saul was hiding behind the luggage. And I was thinking about it. Thank you, Nati. I was thinking about it. You know, the luggage that we would have, these things that we hide behind. And we say, God, I can't. Why? King Saul, would you show me? Because everybody says, I can't do it. My mother says, I'm a failure. My father says, I'm a failure. And all the opinions of people stop me. I can't do it. Why else would we hide behind some luggage? Oh, because I'm so discouraged. I've lost all the courage, all the will to do what it is that God's purpose for me to do. What happens if this were to happen? What happens if I were to be embarrassed? And we hide behind the luggage. What luggage are you hiding behind tonight? What are you hiding behind? Where is your comfort? And you're saying, oh God, no, not me. Not me. I don't want to be the king of Israel. I don't want to be that life group leader. I don't want to help in the music team. I notice that some of us, we hide behind pride because, oh no, we're too good for that. I mean, you want me to sing in the music team? I'm too good for the music team. We have issues of pride. What other luggage do you hide behind, King Saul? Oh, the financial one. What's the financial one? Oh, I can afford to do that. I've got to go ahead and do this, and I've got to take care of that. And we get so caught up in our financial responsibilities and inadequacies, and we say, no, we can't do that. Here's another one, low self-esteem. It's like Moses. God just talks to Moses, and Moses comes up with 7 excuses. I mean, one excuse is bad enough, but after the one excuse comes the next excuse and the next excuse. And one of those was low self-esteem. Who am I? But that's where you and I need to understand who we actually are. Who we are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What else, King Saul? What were you hiding behind? Oh, this is a big one. Unwillingness. I just don't want to do it, Lord. Oh, this is a heavy bag. This is a real heavy bag. Unwillingness. No. Somebody else can do it. Mark, you can do it. I don't know. I'm not going to do it. Somebody else can take that responsibility. Oh, I don't know if I want all that pressure. Oh, I don't know if I want all that study time. Oh, I don't know if I really want all that that goes with what God has called me to. Sometimes fear stops us. It's another piece of luggage that we hide behind. Fear. Oh, what happens if I fail? What happens if I go up and I'm ministering to the children and they pull my ears and I react or something? What am I going to do? King Saul, what were you also hiding behind? Indifference. Well, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But you know, my friend, I've realized that if it's not about me, then it's surely got to be about those that need to hear and need to receive and those that need that touch. And you are those hands and you are that voice. We can't be indifferent. What else, King Saul, were you hiding behind? What was another piece of luggage? Just being overwhelmed. The sense that it's just too much. But my friend, if you would give it to God, if He's fashioned you, if He's equipped you, then He's going to take care of every single step you take. You know, there are times where I just go home and I'm just like weeping before the Lord. And I'm saying, oh God, look at what You've done. Look at what You've done. You've done so much. You've done so great a work. And you just are just so overwhelmed by the bigness of what God calls you to. But you know, it keeps us reliant on God. Because it's not in your strength and your ability. It's not by might, nor is it by power. But it's by the Spirit of the Lord. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. My sufficiency is not in myself, said Paul, but my sufficiency comes from God. And finally, past failures. I've tried it once and it failed. I tried it another time and it failed. All the luggage that we hide behind. What is your luggage? What is the piece of luggage that is applicable to your life this evening? We're going to pray for you in just a minute, but with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one moving around, just for the next few moments.
before we do pray for you, and the whole team is going to come and minister this evening, we do want to make sure that first and foremost, that every single one of us know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know, what helps us deal with this luggage is that in a moment we're going to call believers, people that know God, and we're able to minister life as the team of this church because they know Jesus. And when you know Jesus, He takes the burdens, He takes all the disappointment, and He takes it upon Himself. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, that if you are weary and heavy laden, that He will give you rest. In 1 Peter 5:7, the Bible says, cast all your concerns on Jesus. And the reason is He cares for you. But my friend, all this luggage is something that, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, is something that you would need to have the strength and your own ability to deal with. But that's not what God has purposed for your life. When Jesus came and He died on that cross, all your sin, all your failure, all your disappointment was put on Him. And in exchange, because there was a great exchange that took place, Jesus gave you a perfect life, a righteous life. That He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, became sin for you and I, that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can't do enough. You can't pray enough. You can't crawl enough or do whatever it is that you think is going to move God unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information, visit us on durbanchristiancentre.com and stay in touch with us via Facebook and Twitter.